The following reading is taken from Thoughts on the Present Revival of Religion by Jonathan Edwards. What things are to be corrected or avoided in promoting this work, or in our behavior under it? Drawing false conclusions from true premises. Many true and eminent saints have been led into mistakes and snares by arguing that they have prayed in faith. They have indeed been greatly assisted in prayer for such a particular mercy and have had the true spirit of prayer and exercise in their asking it of God. But they have concluded more from these premises, and as a just consequence from them. That they have thus prayed is a sure sign that their prayer is accepted and heard, and that God will give a gracious answer according to his own wisdom, and that the particular thing asked shall be given, or that which is equivalent. This is a just consequence from it. But it is not inferred by any new revelation now made, but by the promises made to the prayer of faith in the Holy Scriptures. But that God will answer them in that individual thing they ask, if it be not a thing promised in God's word, or they do not certainly know that it is what will be most for the good of God's church, in the advancement of Christ's kingdom and glory, nor whether it will be best for them is more than can be justly concluded from it. If God remarkably meets with one of his children while he is praying for a particular mercy of great importance, for himself, or some other person, or any society of men, and does by the influences of his spirit greatly humble him, and empty himself of himself in prayer, and manifest himself remarkably in his excellency, sovereignty, and all-sufficient power and grace in Jesus Christ, and in a remarkable manner enables a person to come to him for that mercy, poor in spirit, and with humble resignation to God, and with a great degree of faith and the divine sufficiency and the sufficiency of Christ's mediation, that person has indeed a great deal the more reason to hope that God will grant that mercy than otherwise he would have. The greater probability is justly inferred, agreeable to the promises of the Holy Scripture, in that such prayer is accepted and heard. And it is much more probable that a prayer that is heard will be returned with a particular mercy that is asked, than one that is not so. And there is no reason at all to doubt but that God sometimes especially enables to the exercises of faith when the minds of his saints are engaged in thoughts of and prayer for some particular blessing they greatly desire. In other words, God is pleased especially to give them a believing frame, a sense of his fullness, and a spirit of humble dependence on him at such times. When they are thinking of and praying for such mercy, he gives them a particular sense of his ability and of the sufficiency of his power to overcome obstacles, and the sufficiency of his mercy and of the blood of Christ for the removal of the guilt that is in the way of the bestowment of such a mercy in particular. When this is the case, it makes a probability still much greater that God intends to bestow the particular mercy sought in his own time and in its own way. But here is nothing of the nature of a revelation in the case, but only a drawing rational conclusions from the particular manner and circumstances of the ordinary gracious influences of God's Spirit. This God is pleased sometimes to give his saints particular exercises of faith and his sufficiency with regard to particular mercies. So he is sometimes pleased to make use of his word in order to it, and helps the actings of faith with respect to such a mercy. The strengthening of their faith in God's sufficiency in this case is therefore a just improvement of such scriptures. It is no more than what those scriptures as they stand in the Bible hold forth. But to take them as new whispers or revelations from heaven is not making a just improvement of them. If persons have thus a spirit of prayer remarkably given to them concerning particular mercy from time to time, so as evidently to be assisted to act faith in God in that particular, In a very distinguishing manner, the argument in some cases may be very strong that God designs to grant that mercy, not from any revelation now made of it, but from such a kind and manner of the ordinary influence of his Spirit with respect to that thing. But here, a great deal of caution and circumspection must be used in drawing inferences of this nature. There are many ways by which persons may be misled and deluded. The ground on which some expect that they shall receive the thing they have asked for is rather a strong imagination than any true humble faith in the divine sufficiency. To have a strong persuasion that the thing asked for shall be granted, which they can give no reason for, without any remarkable discovery of that glory and fullness of God in Christ, it is a ground of faith. And sometimes a confidence that their prayer shall be answered is only a self-righteous confidence and no true faith. To have a high conceit of themselves as eminent saints and special favorites of God, and also have a high conceit of the prayers they have made because they were much enlarged and affected in them, and so they are positive in it that the thing will come to pass. And sometimes when once they have conceived such a notion, they grow stronger and stronger in it, and this they think is from an immediate divine hand upon their minds to strengthen their confidence, whereas it is only by their dwelling in their minds on their own excellency and high experiences and great assistances of the Holy Spirit in which they look brighter and brighter in their own eyes. So it is found by observation and experience that nothing in the world exposes so much to enthusiasm as spiritual pride and self-righteousness. In order to draw on a just inference from the supposed assistance we have had in prayer for a particular mercy, and judging of the probability of the bestowment of that individual mercy, many things must be considered. We must consider the importance of the mercy sought, and the principle whence we so earnestly desire it, how far it is good and agreeable to the mind and will of God, the degree of love to God that we exercised in our prayer, the degree of discovery that is made of the divine sufficiency, and the degree in which our assistance is manifestly distinguishing with respect to that mercy. And there is nothing of greater importance in the argument than the degree of humility, poverty of spirit, self-emptiness, and resignation to the holy will of God exercised in seeking that mercy. Praying for a particular mercy with much of the things I have often seen blessed with a remarkable bestowment of the particular thing asked for. From what has been said, we may see which way God may, only by the ordinary gracious influences of his Spirit, sometimes give his saints special reason to hope for the bestowment of a particular mercy they prayed for, and which we may suppose he oftentimes gives eminent saints of great degrees of humility and much communion with God. And here I humbly conceive some eminent servants of Jesus Christ that we read of in ecclesiastical history have been led into a mistake, and through a lack of distinguishing such things as these from immediate revelations, have thought that God has favored them in some instances with the same kind of divine influences that the apostles and prophets had of old. Another erroneous principle that some have embraced, and which has been a source of many errors in their conduct, is that persons ought always to do whatever the Spirit of God, though but indirectly, inclines them to. Indeed, the Spirit of God is in itself infinitely perfect, and all of his immediate actings, simply considered, are perfect. And there can be nothing wrong in them, and therefore all that the Spirit of God inclines us to directly and immediately, without the intervention of any other cause that shall pervert and misimprove what is from him, ought to be done. But there may be many things a disposition to do which may indirectly be from the Spirit of God that we ought not to do. The disposition in general may be good and from the Spirit of God, But the particular determination of that disposition as to particular actions, objects, and circumstances may be from the intervention or interposition of some infirmity, blindness, inadvertence, deceit, or corruption of ours. So that although the disposition in general ought to be allowed and promoted, and all those actings of it that are simply from God's Spirit, yet that particular ill direction or determination of that disposition, which is from some other cause, ought not to be followed. For example, the Spirit of God may cause a person to have a dear love to another, and so great a desire of and delight in his comfort, ease, and pleasure. This disposition in general is good and ought to be followed. But yet, through the intervention of indiscretion or some other bad cause, it may be ill-directed and have a bad determination as to particular acts. And a person indirectly, through that real love he has to his neighbor, may kill him with kindness. He may do that out of sincere goodwill to him, which may tend to ruin him. A good disposition may, through some inadvertence or delusion, strongly incline a person to that which, if he saw all things as they are, would be most contrary to that disposition. The true loyalty of a general and his zeal for the honor of his friends may exceedingly animate him in war, but this good disposition, through indiscretion and mistake, may push him forward to those things that give the enemy great advantage, and may expose him and his army to ruin, and may tend to the ruin of his master's interest. The apostle does evidently suppose that the Spirit of God and his extraordinary, immediate, and miraculous influences on men's minds may in some respect excite inclinations, which if gratified would tend to confusion, and therefore must sometimes be restrained, and in their exercise must be under the government of discretion. 1 Corinthians 14:31-33. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Here by the spirits of the prophets, according to the known phraseology of the apostle, is meant the Spirit of God acting in the prophets according to those special gifts with which each one was endued. And here it is plainly implied that the Spirit of God, thus operating in them, may be an occasion of their having sometimes an inclination to do that, in the exercise of those gifts which it was not proper, decent, or profitable that they should, and that therefore the inclination, though indirectly from the Spirit of God, should be restrained, and that it ought to be subject to the discretion of the prophets as to the particular time and circumstances of its exercise. I make no doubt but that it is possible for a pastor to have by the Spirit of God such a sense of the importance of eternal things and of the misery of mankind, so many of whom are exposed to eternal destruction, together with such a love to souls that he might find in himself a disposition to spend all of his time day and night in warning, exhorting, and calling upon men, and so that he must be obliged, as it were, to do violence to himself ever to refrain, so as to give himself any opportunity to eat, drink, or sleep. And so I believe there may be a disposition in like manner indirectly excited in lay persons through the intervention of their infirmity to do what only belongs to ministers, yea, to do those things that would not become either ministers or people. Through the influence of the Spirit of God, together with a lack of discretion and some remaining corruption, women and children might feel themselves inclined to break forth aloud to great congregations, warning and exhorting the whole multitude, and to scream in the streets or to leave their families and go from house to house, earnestly exhorting others. But yet it would by no means follow that it was their duty to do these things, or that they would not have a tendency to do 10 times as much hurt as good. Jonathan Edwards.